Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Clutch. I mean, Hamilton, it's been a while, and on this episode I want to kind of take a step back to the past again. Of course, we've previously touched upon Wembley Arena, where RevPro's running their anniversary show later this year, and I want to go back to the last time the British Independent stepped foot in Wembley Arena, and maybe some of the chaos that surrounded the booking as well. Of course, I'm talking about Progress's Hello Wembley back in 2018. Back then, Progress ran 26 named shows in 2018 ahead of Wembley, not counting the co-promoted shows in Australia, the Progress World Cup show they had, or the Live at the Dome shows. Of course, the named shows, they hit England, Germany and America. By the time they got to Wembley, they're pretty fortunate to have had that many shows, such with the changes needed to the card. We're going to get to those. In comparison, RevPro will have had 29 dates in 2026 before they hit Wembley Arena, running fewer different towns, and about a month less time. So, sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. What happened on the road to Wembley? And a bit of a warning note, of course, because of the time period. We are going to be bringing up names from speaking out here, so if that's something you'd rather avoid, X out, and we'll be back soon. But this is one we're going to go back through the 2017 and 2018 of Progress Wrestling. So, how did Wembley Arena get announced? Well, Progress, back in the day, they had their big September show, initially at Brixton Academy, then they moved it to Alexandra Palace. It was during that Alexandra Palace show where they announced the Hello Wembley show, but unfortunately at that time the spectre of WWE's UK strand was really hanging over them. Not by then we'd had the UK Championship Tournament, NXT UK was in its germination stage, if you want to call it that. And, yeah, this was just a bit of a weird time for Progress in retrospect. But why mention WWE and NXT UK at all? Well, the quote-unquote free mates of Progress, Jim Smallman, Glenn Joseph, John Briley, at that time all had positions within WWE. And if you want to use a clumsy analogy, they were playing to both sides. They were working with WWE, they still ran Progress. So on screen, no impact, but behind the scenes, this was a time period with a lot of churn and a lot of turnaround. Anyways, starting 2018, the champions in Progress were Travis Banks, he was the Progress World Champion, Walter, the Atlas Champion, Tony Storm, the Women's Champion, and the Grizzled Young Veteran were the Tag Team Champions. And to avoid confusing everyone, I'm going to tackle this in different chunks for different characters. So we'll start with the world title. And just a month after winning the belt from Pete Dunne, Travis Banks was already in that stage of needing help to retain the championship. That came in the form of TK Cooper and a weird little mini feud where it was Banks, TK Cooper and Chris Brooks. This was TK's return from the nasty leg injury he got for Progress in New York, if you remember that, and most cursed shows on that American tour. His first match back, or his first major match back, beg your pardon, was a match against Travis Banks. And yeah, I guess even in 2018, there was a big struggle. Like, TK Cooper, at the time, he was, I guess, the underdog of the old South Pacific Power Trip team. But I guess it's the kind of thing that, at the time, you know, we were nowhere close to even having that team split. So fast forward, was it 6-7 months after the leg break and the recovery, this was more of a reintroduced TK Cooper rather than tease any eventual split. And I guess to a point, you know, coming straight from return to title run, people weren't buying TK Cooper at a title level. We had a bit of interference, Chris Brooks getting involved as Travis Banks retained the belt. We had a freeway in Manchester, and that's where TK Cooper, you know, firmly turned and sided with Travis Banks again. Defences against the likes of Matt Riddle, Shane Strickland and Jeff Cobb all led up to the main event of Super Strong Style 16 weekend. Back then, it was a three-day show, much like WXW 16 Karat Gold. This time around, four shows were being held at Alexander Palace. They'd outgrown the Electric Ballroom for the tournament. Recording this on the end of 2026, Super Strong Style 16. How times have changed the other way, but the middle Saturday was the non-tournament showpiece, and 2018, the main event was Travis Banks against Walter. Two strong champions who hadn't, you know, even tasted defeat since they'd won the belts for prior September. And, yeah, this was a match which really didn't live up to expectations. At least to finish, you had TK Cooper cosplaying as Roman Reigns, because WWE cosplay certainly was a thing back then. And we had him interfering, Travis Banks rolled outside to break up a submission, and just walked out to take a count out. Claimed that, you know, Walter, you've had your shot. We end up with Walter demanding a rematch. He was goaded into vacating the Atlas title to do so. And I guess with that particular thing, you know, we're kind of looking at, well, you know, if Walter gets his rematch quick, you know, Zack Sabre Jr., he'd won Super Strong Style weekend and returned that weekend. Do we get Zack Daddy reunited for a big match? Because Zack Daddy, the partnership between Zack Sabre Jr. and Walter over in Germany. But yeah, Zack Daddy, maybe not a thing as you came to Wembley. We will get to that. And there's a lot of these, we'll get to that kind of things. The months after Super Strong Style, Travis Banks kept hold of his title, beating Jack Sexsmith and Chuck Mambo. I mean, all due respect to those guys, but, you know, both of us being in title matches kind of tells you where progress was in 2018, you know, their title scene. Banks took another count-out loss against Tyler Bate. And then we end up with a rare midweek show, and this was back when we really started having the rejigging, the reshuffling of the Progress calendar to work around NXT UK. And that was where Walter got his title match that he'd earned by giving up the Atlas belt. It was Midweek Matters was themed after the one of the latest Alan Partridge miniseries. And this was, I guess, kind of a step change of Progress. This was the first show where they'd, you know, completely revamped everyone's music. They'd had one of these, I think it's about a year or so prior, where a lot of the recognisable music had been dropped for, I guess, less recognisable music, or certainly tracks that they wouldn't have to pay so much royalty on. This time around, it was a lot more jarring, where you were pretty much getting guys, all the known music went, and it's replaced with stuff from music libraries, so the stuff you'd hear in WWE, the stuff that WXW would use down the line. And, you know, this was the kind of thing which was, you know, setting up the eventual integration, I guess relatively short-lived integration, of Progress Wrestling with the WWE Network. How did that end out? Anyway, because of the history, Walter and Travis Banks, their title match had a no-count-out stipulation added to it. And at the time, you know, Progress World Title main events and the Electric Ballroom were brawl around the arena jobs. Yeah, from I remember being that show, I remember going straight from work to this, so I think a lot of people, you had a very different vibe, you know, Progress usually on a Sunday, you know, you ended your weekend, a lot of people here were, you know, either having to take the day off work to, you know, make use of their season tickets if they had one, or, you know, rush in to, from, you know, from their job to get to this. It's a weird one. But as I said, the at the time typical Electric Ballroom main event brawl ended with Walter leaving the title. After that, Travis Banks kind of took a break from Progress cards. You know, he wasn't there to bemoan, you know, his loss. So, Zack Sabre Jr. and Walter, right? Well, Zack Sabre Jr., of course, over Strong Style Weekend, he went through Chuck Mambo, David Starr, Keith Lee, and Cassius Ohno to win. At the time, and still now as I record this, Zack Sabre Jr. contracted New Japan. So while Progress had him booked for the September 30th show at Wembley Arena, New Japan had their own show, Fighting Spirit Unleashed in Long Beach, California. So instead of Zack Sabre Jr. facing Walter, he would be in Walter, the Walter Pyramid, that is, as part of an undercard Suzuki Gun versus Los Ingobernables de Japón Trios match. Yeah, contracts, they're a bitch at times, eh? But that news broke about a week before Walter's win of the Progress title, and it left Progress with a gaping main event to fill. You know, you'd kind of had fans, you know, join the dots, you know, follow the breadcrumbs. You know, Walter, Zack Sabre Jr., two guys who were various degrees, you know, instrumental in Progress's history and had their own shared history elsewhere in Europe, and now up in smoke. Fortunately, the months between Walter's win and Wembley show, Progress had a, let's say, modern-day RevPro, like 10 shows to run. That's because of a six-state US tour, a three-stop tour of Germany, and then a regular chapter show in the UK. So, got 10 shows, plenty of wrestling to get done, and they decided to add stakes with a little bit of inspiration from Chikara, of all places. Free and in, they called it. Basically, you won three matches in a row on those shows, you got in the main event. Now, all of a sudden, those 10 shows went from being potentially throwaway filler to must-watch. And on the flip side, for, you know, John Bradley and everybody else editing those shows, meant that they suddenly had a clock on those, because those shows had to be out and watchable by the time Wembley's around. Otherwise, you'd be looking pretty daft. Well, unless you're just willing to go through cage match results. So, they'd excluded anybody who'd already had, you know, matches booked for Wembley. You know, I'm not going to go through all those 10 shows to be here all night, but, you know, it's a fair number of near misses match, free and out thing, or free and in thing. Eddie Dennis got two wins. He was cut off by TK Cooper. Jimmy Havoc went two up. Walter stopped him. Matt Riddle, you know, was on the cusp of getting in. Brody King stopped him. In the end, it was only Tyler Bate who made it, with wins over Eddie Dennis, TK Cooper, and Mark Haskins getting that slot. Incidentally, that last win was against Mark Haskins, so it could have been, you know, Tyler Bate or Mark Haskins in that Wembley main event. But yeah, that was a messy way to get Tyler Bate against Walter. It made use of a lot of real estate, so to speak, but yeah, not quite as clean and surgically precise as a lot of people would have wanted. But hey, it gave people a reason to watch a lot of that US 2 that would have been hand-waved, even more so after Kid Lykos got injured pretty early on. Going into the tag team scene, it's a little bit more complex. So we had that weird tandem of Mark Haskins and Jimmy Havoc. If you remember Entropy, well, it took me a lot longer than that to remember their tag team name, and they never used, but it was one of those pet names that Glenn Joseph really wanted to hammer home on commentary. But yeah, the Grizzled Young Veterans, they'd, you know, traded the team, traded the titles back and forth, and they just ploughed the roster. Havoc and Haskins, David Starr, Jack Sexsmith, Mustache Mountain, Ricky Shane, Page and Ethan Page. Yeah, Heavy Machinery on the Progress WrestleMania Access Tour. You know, that's how deep in Progress were back then. They, you know, had their matches and titles defended on WrestleMania weekend in the eminently throwaway slots. I mean, they weren't going to do a full-on title change in front of a WrestleMania convention, were they? But, yeah, to try and put some spice into things, back in the May before Wembley, so about, what, 4 months or so before, Progress announced a rather convoluted match by way of a Jim Smallman video on YouTube. Now, if you're fully into your Progress, you'll know about this match, but this was a deal that really could have used those TNA, you know, screens full of graphics. You know, it's really quite simple, I guess, as we're saying is. So they were going to go with something called the Thunder Bastard match. They do this a lot for singles. It's basically like a delayed entry battle royal, kind of like the Casino Gauntlet in AEW now, where you first one in, but the match keeps going until everybody's, well, kind of. Everyone keeps going until everybody's in, then you get eliminated, I guess. But what they want to do is tie this to a round robin turn, because again, a shit ton of shows, you've got to fill them with something. So they announced they were going to have this round robin tournament. Whoever finished bottom of the league or bottom two were the first two teams in the match, and then whoever won the league was the last team in. No, you didn't have to be in as long. Simple. The Grizzled Young Veterans would be part of a round robin, so they weren't going to be exempt in like first team in or last team in. But you ended up with this weird mix where you had, if you ever played TNM 7 or Total Extreme Warfare, you would have booked stuff like this. It would be big tag team round robin with the titles on the line, and you'd have the titles bounce back and forth, and in the end you need pen and paper to keep on top of who's done what. We had the Grizzled Young Veterans in the round robin portion, as I said, defending the titles, but there was the weirdness of all this brought in because it meant that the GYV weren't guaranteed to go on as champions, nor that the champions were going to be the last team in. If you had, a team who started in last or finishing last, get an upset win and went into Wembley as champions, you had that fun stuff. So the list of teams going in was, quite the time capsule, because GYV, nowadays they're, AEW, or mostly Ring of Honor these days. He had Aussie Open. Mark Davis and Kyle Fletcher were working gangbusters on AEW when they're not injured. Connor Mills and Maverick Mayhew, once, part of Diamond Eyes and Progress, pretty high up in Ref Pro. Maverick Mayhew's this is meant as any kind of slight, the fourth member of CPF these days. The Anti-Fun Police, Chief Deputy Dunn and Los Federales Santos, again, another time capsule team. CCK, Chris Brooks and Kid Lykos, but we'll put a bit of an asterisk on Kid Lykos for a second there. Mark Haskins and Flash Morgan Webster, again, bit of an asterisk there later in the tournament. And the tandem of Jack Sexsmith and David Starr, calling themselves Sexy Star, known of a cancelled one, but we'll get back to the cancellations. So, yeah, that US 2 had a bit of a span of thrown in the works. CCK won the tag titles on the very first night at the 2300 Arena in Philadelphia. Then, very next night in Melrose, Massachusetts, we had a singles match, TK Cooper, Kid Lykos. Lykos broke his collarbone, which pretty much ruled Lykos out at the end of the year. Very early on, literally after one match in their Thunder Bastard Tag League, CCK had the tag belts, but half a team. The US 2 just had CCK with substitutes. AR Fox filled in as they dropped the titles in a non-Thunder Bastard match in Cicero, Illinois to, Bandito and Flamita. They're not in the series. So, yeah, this is where, Think and Fly made a convoluted situation even more complex. Bandito and Flamita, of course, they weren't getting booked. They weren't going to do Germany. They weren't going to do the last Camden show. So they ended up being the first team into the Thunder Bastard match itself, while everybody else finished the matches. You had the champions, guaranteed to go on first, like we kind of hinted at. The pairing of Mark Haskinson, Flash Morgan Webster split. They ended up putting Mark Haskinson against Matt Riddle at Wembley. So we had Wild Boar come in to progress to bring the Boar and Webster, the 1-9-8 team. There's a Southside, level, short-lived team if I ever saw one. They were in progress, and it was chaotic, but it was it kind of had the whiff of things ain't being planned, but also you're having to reflect with injuries and you tie too many people down. You can see things both ways, but it was a little bit deflating, that whole Thunder Bastard series just being so messed up with changes, and when we get to Wembley, we'll see how it played out. But the Atlas title, we've already mentioned, Walter had to vacate the belt in order to get that world title rematch with Travis Banks. So how do you get a new Atlas champion? Because even back then, the big men's wrestling scene, not exactly doing gangbusters in Britain. Well, on the next show, we get a four-way. By the end of that same month that Walter dropped the belt, it was filled. In a four-way featuring Joseph Connors, whose run in progress was pretty much him mocking the everyone's welcome line when the crowd turned him on day one. Oh, and by the way, literally the same week Joseph Connors was challenging the Progress Atlas belt because he was under WWE contract, he was on 205 Live. Hey, who knew he was innovating what Luke Jacobs did with Progress and Rev Pro for Cruiserweight and Heavyweight belt at the same time? Rob Lynch also won the match. He was a staple of Progress's old tag division, but after his own partner got cancelled and excommunicated from Britres, Rob Lynch very much floundering with looking for a reason to be, Rampage Brown, a former Progress World and Atlas champion, but at this point not very much, not a regular on the cards. And Doug Williams, a legend of the British scene going way back to the year 2000. Not the likes of, oft forgotten programs like, UWA Wrestling Rampage and, of course, the FWA. But again, Doug Williams is not exactly a progress regular. This turned into the, I guess, somewhat obvious storyline. Doug Williams won the belt in Manchester and immediately went on a, when I lose this belt, I'm retired. Which, a bit of a copy-paste from Ric Flair about a decade earlier, but we had Michael Dante, one half of the former Sumerian Death Squad, first challenger. TK Cooper had a shot for the same show that Travis Banks lost the title to Walter. Then Trent Seven put himself forward, and then that's how we get to Wembley. And then women's title, we had Toni Storm. She had multiple title defences under her belt going into 2018. Ginny had won a title shot at the end of 2017, but ended up picking up an injury. During the time off, she ended up creating a faction to, I guess, stay in progress. The House of Couture. That's Nina Samuels, Charlie Morgan, and Chikara. Eventually, Ginny returned from injury, took a shot and beat Toni Storm for the title. Had a rematch set for Wembley. But both of them under WWE contract. Both Toni Storm and Ginny were under the WWE UK Championship Tournament at the Royal Albert Hall, which was a precursor to NXT UK being created. Ginny picked up an injury in a pre-show match there, I believe against Killer Kelly, from what I remember, at least being there live. She recovered, was brought over to the US for the Mae Young Classic, so it wasn't a Ginny's injured, we're going to have to scrap all plans. But because Toni Storm was a fixture in NXT UK from day one, people weren't expecting a title change. There was more people expecting, well, is Ginny going to make it? So they added Millie McKenzie to the match. It ended up being three-way. Again, it was messy and was the whole mess of injuries in NXT UK. The common thread throughout a lot of progress booking. Outside of the title scene, FSU, the original tag team champions in progress, my friends Stand United, Mark Andrews and Eddie Dennis. They'd been on and off, of course. Mark Andrews went to TNA for a while. And again, on this particular go-round, was getting interest for the new WWE UK project. Now he's free with NXT, free of TNA. And we had a turn between Eddie and Mark Dennis. Eddie Dennis turning on his old friend at the 2017 Chase for Sun show in Alexandra Palace. The months followed had Eddie Dennis intervene pretty much every time Mark Andrews was involved. It was that time where Danny Jones ended up being, I guess, like a Welsh Finn Balor with face paint. And we ended up somehow getting to a number one contenders match between Mark Andrews and Eddie Dennis in a TLC match. And those of you who were there or have seen the show, you know what's following here. Last bit of threads here. We had Super Strong Style Weekend. Christian Mikhail Jacoby, widely known as the promotional face of WXW in Germany, he introduced himself across Super Strong Style Weekend as a character, introducing himself as the most powerful man in European wrestling. Those of us there who were also familiar with him, he got a chance of VXV, which I guess is a mixture of annoyed or blowing off, I guess, at the time. Jacoby was there as the power broker of European wrestler, bringing up how he moulded, shaped and polished wrestlers into stars like Aleister Black, like Axel Dieter Jr. Jacoby mocking progress, I think, and Pete Dunne is the best independent wrestler in the world. He had a wrestler he wanted to bring to progress and challenged Pete Dunne for that. It was Ilya Dragunov, and for those who knew, and back in 2018, a lot of people watched a lot more than one promotion, and the reaction in that room in Alexandra Palace when that was announced, it wasn't blow the roof off, but my God, it was loud. A couple of the threads just want to bring up that were, I guess, abandonware, so to speak. We were meant to be getting Jimmy Havoc against Will Ospreay, spoofing off the feud of old in progress. But Will Ospreay, of course, the New Japan contract, he was pulled for that same Fighting Spirit Unleashed show. Ended up losing a IWGP Junior Title Tournament semi-final to Marty Skull. Wow, the cancel names here. That match at Progress Wembley ended up being Jimmy Havoc against Paul Robinson, and we will end the very concentrated segment of cancelled names here, because I want to get on to the show at Wembley Arena now. For the longest time, this show was something which Progress had up on their YouTube feed for free. No longer available, so I think cage match used to have a link. It's now private or removed. So, unfortunately, if you want to watch this, you'll need to sail the seas or stump up for Progress's on-demand service. We start with a pre-show battle royal with a lot of names that, you know, didn't get in the card. There's a few, you know, still around today. Mike Loku, back when he was the OJMO, David Francisco, Chuck Mambo, Spike Chauvet, Danny Duggan, for those of you who watch Monday Night Magic. There you go. Chuck Mambo won that one, as we, you know, get the crowd happy to start the show. Opening match of the main show, Mark Haskins beating Matt Riddle. And again, this was more of a backdrop for Matt Riddle to say goodbye to the British Indies in Progress. He was on his way to NXT at that point. You know, the dates were getting more and more scarce. He was winding them up. So, yeah, this was Mark Haskins get the win over the guy who ain't going to be around. Then we had the Progress Women's title match, Ginny defending against Toni Storm and Millie McKenzie. And my word, this was swerve for the sake of swerves. So we had Laura DiMatteo, who originally was Ginny's assistant Elizabeth back in Progress, if you remember back to, was 2016, 2017. Came out during the match with Candy Floss to try and neutralise the whole House Couture thing. Except Laura attacked Candy Floss, then Toni Storm to help Ginny get the win. Laura had returned to Progress early in the year as some, quote, someone who knows how to beat Ginny and teased a title feud, then just ended up being part of Ginny's new group. Well, Ginny's new group, because after the afters, Jordynne Grace came out to debut for Progress, attacked everyone but Ginny, which basically got rid of House Couture, and was Ginny and Laura against Jordynne Grace afterwards. Atlas title, everyone had kind of expected how this was going to play out. Doug Williams lost, got his big send-off here. There's no commentary from Trent, which is very refreshing at this point. You know, he was very much into the, you know, WWE mimicry, as he, I guess, is to this day to some degree. But again, because of the very short build and the fact that everyone kind of knew what this was, it was a bit underwhelming. And, well, let's be frank, you know, while there's a fair few Progress fans in 2018 who would have been around for, you know, Doug Williams' big run, there's a lot more who weren't, and it's that kind of thing you get, you know, say the WWE Hall of Fame is where you get the farewell and paying tribute to a guy who a lot of people in the crowd either didn't see or weren't around for. So, you know, it was a nice moment, but yeah, it was kind of expected, and it played its part. We have a own disqualification match, Paul Robinson against Jimmy Havoc. This did not age well. Next, Thunder Bastard match for the Progress Tag Team title. So this was the one which, so we had Bandito and Flamita start, Chris Brooks and Timothy Thatcher, of course. Timothy Thatcher, the latest substitute for the injured kid Lycos, and you had, was it the Calamari Thatch crew of CTC, they called when they were doing all the playful names. David Starr, Jack Sexsmith, Connor Mills, Maverick Mayhew, Aussie Open, who ended up winning this with his absolute standout show. Grizzled Young Veterans, for 198, Webster and Ball, the Anti-Fun Police, and Cassie Order Ventures, Bandit and Flamita, Sexy Star, Maverick Mayhew and Connor Mills, Eminem, Aussie Open, Anti-Fun Police and GYV, Brooks Thatcher and 198. So it was a long, long, long match, and I think it was one of those where, at this point in the show, things were already starting to feel long, because you had, you know, the Thunder Bastard, you had Pete Dunne, Lee Dragunov, you had the TLC match in the main event. And this is one of those times in the show where people were kind of enjoying it. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't folks sitting on their hands, but you kind of got the feeling at that point that people knew the show was going to run long, and it was a fair amount of clock watching of, oh crap, am I going to make my train? Pete Dunne against Ilya Dragunov, again, this a little underwhelming. Pete Dunne came in as the NXT UK champion, and suspicion because of that was this was a bit of a foregone conclusion, because, you know, WWE at the time, Ilya was nowhere near the WWE radar. Prior to this match as well, Ilya hadn't really done that much in the UK. He'd done the two WXW shows in London, and a show for a company called Great Bear Promotions in Cheshire in 2013, against Tyler Bateman. How young must Tyler have been then? But again, the issue is, as big as WXW was amongst a certain section of Progress fans and Bitrez fans, when you're in a building with 4,700 other people, you know, you need a lot to be on board. And unfortunately, on this night, a lot of people weren't off with Ilya, and it just felt like it just didn't click. You know, the fans didn't know who he was. They didn't buy him. And again, when you save somebody's debut for the biggest show in the promotion's history, you're stacking your deck against him. Unfortunately, it was a decent match, but very underwhelmed compared to what both men had in their tanks at the time. Something else which went for the test of time, I guess. Hardware failures now. We've all probably seen this on Botchmania. Tables, lights and chairs match, Eddie Dennis, Mark Andrews. I don't know where Progress got these tables from. I guess they were imports, especially from Japan. But this got to the point where it became Botchmania worthy. It became Crone worthy because the crowd were almost feeling sorry for the lads here. Like, we had, table spots where the table just, guys bounced off the table. At the end, you had Eddie Dennis having to do that next stop driver off the top of the ladder through a table, which still didn't break, but led to Eddie going back and getting the contract. This was one ended up being an absolute comedy of errors, which, again, did it need the TLC stipulation? Like, could you just run a straightforward ladder match and maybe have the tables as a side bit? But again, that's the way wrestling was at the time. You have your gimmicks, you lay them up. And sometimes less is more. This is very much a match which could have done with a bit of a less. Then your main event, Walter against Tyler Bate, and this is one which, the long-running show really didn't help. You had fans leaving before and during the main event to get the last trains home. Progress back then advertised, and still do advertise, finish times. This match didn't even hit the ring until after the advertised finish time, which, people made plans, having to get back home for work. Unfortunately, it is what it is. But this didn't live up to the epic that people wanted. Walter and Tyler Bate, and we saw years later in WWE under their banner, Walter and Tyler Bate had a much better match in them. But this, the perils of a long show, everything going massively long, and fans leaving because of the logistical issues. So, it was very much a fitting end to a show which, I guess, had a lot in it, but really so much just under-delivered and underwhelmed because they tried to stuff too much into the big Wembley show, and that is very much something which you can, I guess, maybe draw parallels to do today, which we will do, but it's very tempting when you have your big centrepiece show to try and get everyone on the card. Unfortunately, you do that, you run the risk of just burning everything out. But next morning, that's when the brown stuff really did begin to hit the fan, and I guess for coming months in terms of Progress. Literally the next morning, news came out of Germany with news that Christian Michael Jacobi had stepped down from his roles of NWXW, claiming burnout. That forced a bit of a reshuffle for NWXW ahead of Jacobi's eventual departure there, 2 and a bit years later in 2020. NWXW had to shut down Shotgun, their weekly show, and really rejigged their accounts. But this isn't a NWXW podcast. I've got one, but this isn't it. This was kind of the end of a jumping off point for Progress's rapid sellouts. Until this point, Progress was very much a promotion that you had to be online when the tickets went on sale. And at their peak, you'd be looking at a minute or two max from the tickets going on sale to being sold out. So if you were not on the Progress ticket website on Ticket Tailor at 12 noon or 11:59 a.m. hitting F5, clack, 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 you were very unlikely to get front row or any decent tickets. Problem was, for a lot of people, Wembley was that massive show. It became the jumping off point. It's like, well, they're not going to get bigger than Wembley. The second show, if they make it back here, is not going to be as big. And folks who were kind of miffed with, the ever-growing WWE reach, that started, a couple of years back with the, remember, the Cruiserweight Classic of the Global Cruiserweight Series back as it originally was. A few fans even then were getting fed up with WWE's encroachment on the indie scenes and the fact that, it led to this Wembley show. That's the natural jumping off point. And, the fact that Progress had to change some show dates to accommodate via NXT UK tapings, a lot of people are putting two and two together. It's like, well, if the people running this joint aren't putting this place first, why should I? So, not overnight, it wasn't a cliff edge, but slowly but surely, those instant sellouts became shows that took a little bit longer to sell out to where we are today, where they're having to give out bloody discount codes to try and pack out Super Strong Style weekend. Elsewhere, there was a perceived drop in quality as names slowly left the Progress roster. December's unboxing show was literally Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate's farewell. of course, on Boxing Live are mystery shows. So, you know, we didn't know if a match was, and it was only when Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate came out, they, you know, flat out said it's the end of an era. Of course, they were WWE bound by the end of the year. Aussie Open dropped Progress tag belts to the Swords of Essex. That's Paul Robinson and returning Will Ospreay, while Jordan Grace took the Progress women's belt from Ginny. Walter kept the Progress title, eventually unifying with Trent Seven's Atlas belt during 2019 Super Strong Style weekend. Walter eventually dropped the belt to Eddie Dennis in September 2019 when Eddie did his Wembley cash-in, finally using the title shot he got from that cursed TLC match. During the main event of the advertised David Starr-Walter match, we had a WWE-style cash-in, which a little bit deflating, because Eddie Dennis also with NXT UK at that point, but it is what it is at this point. Jim Smallman announced he'd be stepping away from Progress a little over a year later. He wrapped up the end of 2019. He was replaced by Matt Richards as ring announcer for like three shows because, of course, we hit the pandemic. Speaking out happened and everything created. Rough count, 8-9 names from that Wembley card were caught up. Glenn Joseph stood down from WWE and Progress duties around the same time, which meant that John Briley was the last man left with Progress and going through his own health battles. Of course, Progress didn't run any more shows after February 2020 after the pandemic took hold. They did return in 2021 with some closed set shows at Peckham. They were for the WWE Network and Demand Progress. But it wasn't until the end of the year where Progress was sold to the pairing of Lee McAteer and Martin Best. Progress eventually returned in front of fans at the start of 2022, and that's where those comparisons tail off, because the Progress we have in 2022 and the Progress we have today are far cry from even what we had following that Wembley show, let alone the heyday of Progress. Comparisons-wise, Progress claimed they drew 47-50 for Wembley. At the start of May, Progress, approaching 2,700,000 tickets sold. Pretty strong start, but you consider, you know, that is off the back of AEW All In for the third time at Wembley Stadium the following day. But ticket sales seem to be slowing down. We do have one match announced, the FTR versus the Young Guns match, quote, for the RevPro tag titles, if Young Guns have the belts at that point. Those All In Wembley tickets have been on sale for a while now, and you know, there was, I believe, 1,700 tickets sold by RevPro early days. Things slowed down, and now you're looking at a couple hundred a week, I believe, is the run rate at the moment. But I guess part of the issue is right now, at least for my money, and Lord knows I've been criticised for being too critical of this, RevPro just running far too often this year. And you know, when you're having to run so many live-in shows and so many RevPro, you know, name show here, you've got a lot to promote, and at some point, you've got to stop robbing Peter to pay Paul, and I think that is kind of where we are now with things. Like, you know, you've got high stakes where you run that in March, Epic Encounter in April, Revolution Rumble in May, Butch Jacob in June, Summer Citizen in July. Like, that's one tentpole show a month that you're, you know, trying to promote as getting fans to. Oh, and by the way, Wembley tickets also on sale. And to me, that's part of the problem. Like, Progress in 2018, they had the monthly chapter shows in Camden, the odd shows in, you know, Birmingham and Manchester. The other shows they ran were tours in Germany, in America, the mini, you know, co-pro stuff in Australia that, you know, didn't really count into canon. The problem RevPro have this year, they, at least, you know, as I'm recording this on May 4th, they have no international shows announced. And I'd be surprised if they do many before Wembley. So they are doing those 28, 29 shows, hitting mostly London, hitting Coventry, Sheffield. You know, they've done Doncaster, doing Wolverhampton, they've done Cardiff. That is a lot of the same kind of crowds they're hitting over and over again. Heck, even the show they're running in a few weeks' time in Morecambe. You know, Morecambe, it's not a traditional RevPro town, but it is pretty much a wrestling town. But you're hammering those same crowds over and over again. And running so many shows, you know, we're in, compared to Progress, a month's less time, you are running the risk of burning out that audience. And, you know, when you're, you know, on the parapet saying, every show is a big show, and when you see, well, is live in Southampton, the same kind of level as high stakes, is the same level as a Revolution Rumble, they're not. And eventually people do cotton on to the fact that, as much as you may want to deny it, not every show is a big show. You know, WWE LFG is not as big a show as NXT, as Raw, as SmackDown, or WrestleMania. And I'm not saying you have to put stuff in tiers like that, but when you say everything's the same level, we're quickly back on my old maxim. If everything is awesome, nothing's awesome. But, yeah, what I would say, comparing the progress card to what we know so far for RevPro Wembley, the progress card, for the most part, you know, as we ran down, it was mostly progress guys. Only Ilya Dragunov was debuting there. The rest of the card, to some degree, it had some running progress, whether it was main chapter shows, whether it was on the international tours, whether it was, heck, the Live of the Dome shows, or if you want to go back, you know, Endeavor and Potential, for those of you who remember those shows. First match RevPro announced was straight out of Ye Olde Dream Match playbook, and that's not a knock, but for those fans who you're telling to go and watch every show is a big show, we need more meat on the bone for the local roster who's in week in, week out. And to be fair, they have announced the Revolution Rumble winner if it's in Doncaster later this month. Their heavyweight title shot is going to be at Wembley. The British J Cup in Stevenage next month, the winner of that gets their shot at Wembley as well. So if you've got three matches announced, even if two of them are effectively X versus Y so far. But the concern I've got with RevPro is, you know, if you're going to be saying every show's a big show, you need to have a lot of big time matches to headline those big shows and your really big show. And unfortunately, when you're running a hell of a schedule, running virtually weekly, and you're not doing shows outside of a small set of towns that you're doing, there's a fear that that crowd is going to be not burnt out to the point of going to sit in my hands, but I do worry this is going to be something of a jumping off point like we saw with progress in 2018. A little bit of footnote here. Obviously, it's been quite a few months since I last did a Euroclutch. And I'll be honest with you guys, you know, I'm finding it very heavy going with a lot of the, you know, quote-unquote, bigger promotions in the European scene. Obviously, XXW notwithstanding, but again, I have a XXW podcast, this ain't it. RevPro scheduled running virtually weekly is smothering at times. Like, there's been times I've wanted to sit down and break through a show, but I, you know, skip a date because I can't, you know, work calls or don't get free time. And then there's another RevPro show right on my doorstep, at which point it's old content. And it's the kind of thing where, you know, if you're going to do that, you've got to be there right on the end of a show. Otherwise, it's old news because they've run two or three by the time you've seen the next one. And again, RevPro, you know, quality has picked up somewhat, but a lot of the promotional stuff is still there. Like, we had, before he signed with NXT, Will Cross, because they, you know, did a typo on his one entrance video. Cards not being announced too late, like the Epic Encounter show in Cardiff last month, they announced there's going to be tag title defense, and there's going to be a four-way to determine the challenges of that match. Except that challenger match was only announced the day before their monthly Live in London show. So it's like, you do these matches, you have them announced later on. Yeah, that could be because people aren't being booked, that could be because of injuries or what have you. But if you're not announcing this stuff till late on, like a week before the big show, that kind of tips off, well, this may not be the big title defense, especially with FTR Young Guns already set in stone. And look, the fact that, you know, we're about a month on from Epic Encounter, and perhaps the big takeaway from that was an instant where the guardrails whacked a couple of fans in the face, that kind of tells you where the lay of the land is. You know, you have too many shows, they all bleed into one, and unfortunately, for the most part, people just don't pay any attention to those shows. Now, RevPro Wembley, I'm pretty sure, you know, people there have sold, you know, the thick end of 3,000 tickets so far. I'll be checking in, whether it's live on stream or in the building, depends, you know, where I'm living at that point, and whether I can, you know, get the train to Wembley at the time. But unfortunately, when you're running so many shows, you know, peppering the audience with content, a lot of stuff goes under the radar. So, yeah, is that me committing myself to a written review for Voice of Wrestling? Probably. Progress is progress. Just not for me these days. They did a free stream of the Super Strong Style 16 second night early today. Their live on-demand thing apparently crapped out the start of the show, so they just put it onto YouTube. And yeah, it was on Triller TV as well, but YouTube has the nasty habit of showing a concurrent view account. Didn't even touch 300 viewers now. That was, you know, during, no, it did peak towards the end, as you'd expect, but the fact that, you know, you aren't cracking 300 viewers for what you're trying to say is the most prestigious tournament in European wrestling, I think kind of tells you where progress are. They are nowhere near the force they were, heck, where we were at Wembley 8 years ago, let alone a couple of years prior, where they were selling out tickets and shows for just existing. Charles Crowley and Rio winning this year's tournament. Of course, Rio, that was the inaugural Women's Super Strong Style 16. Kind of deluded by the fact that the first round of both these tournaments were spread out across months for the likes of WXW, for the likes of Defy, promotions across the world. Look, it's Super Strong Style 16. You're not going to be able to fit a men and women's 16-person tournament across the two shows we now have since it's now a two-day show. The naming, it's a bit tenuous, but it is progress. And yeah, for a lot of people listening to this, probably it's not for them. It's a show that I will keep in touch with, but it's not that, it's not a show I'm even tempted by tickets. I mean, heck, RevPro, I have not been to a RevPro show since December 2025. They announced Eddie Kingston yesterday. I bought a ticket before that announcement video was done. Progress, they had three WXW names on Super Strong Style weekend. I wasn't even looking at going. I think that kind of speaks to, the cachet the promotions have, at least with me, and also with, wrestling fans of mine like, and of course with ticket pricing, because that is the elephant in the room, which undoubtedly we will get to at another point. Another promotion I probably have gone into to scratch my, itch and get rid of this funk I'm in, Pro Wrestling Eve. Heck, end of last year I went to an Eve show, had a good time, yes, it was sweaty as hell in that room. And then Wrestle Queendom, I guess to a certain group of fans, they willingly put their heads into a bear trap. It was a good show. Martina winning the Eve title, maybe not for me, but again, Eve absolutely is not for me, demographic-wise. But the stuff coming out afterwards with Will Ospreay posting about Paul Robinson's involvement definitely crossed a lot of people's red lines, and at least in the circles I run in, the buzz is gone. Like, people don't really talk about Eve, they'll talk about matches of the cards, but Eve show days, and they've had a few since Queendom, the buzz doesn't seem to be there. And I don't think it's a case of, well, Queendom is a big show, all the AEW names are in, these shows didn't have AEW names. I think to a point there's a few folks who have just washed their hands of Eve, and I don't think that's going to be permanent, but I think it's certainly, you've had one of those flare-ups where people are going, nope, wash my hands, I'll check in later, see what the lay of the land is. And yeah, unfortunately for some people, Paul Robinson, whether he's paid, whether it's officially a position, or whether he's just there helping out, is a red line that some people just do not want to see crossed. And yeah, look, it's old news. I'm not going to go over this. I'm not going to go to his Discord for official statements or anything like that. But it's a kind of thing where, after speaking out, a lot of people were told, if you're unhappy, vote for your wallets. No, don't buy a ticket. Don't subscribe to On Demands. And yeah, that, like I say, the red line is crossed for me, and that's where it is with me. And sadly, it means for me, a lot of the British wrestling scene, I'm having to keep at arm's length. Like, there's undoubtedly talent there. A lot of the flippy guys du jour I'm not too enamoured with, but again, we've got new generations of fans who weren't there for the heyday of mid-2010s, who weren't there for the heights of Walter, the heights of Will Ospreay and Britt Reyes. I mean, all due respect for folks who made this comparison, but if you're comparing Will Cruz with Walter, give your head a shake, watch the tape, it's there. And this isn't a knock on Will Cruz either, but the levels of promotion, the levels of matches those guys had, I can trot out a good half dozen Walter matches off the top of my head without even thinking from his days in progress in WXW. I can't think of any Will Cruz matches being hyped even that level, even as a bit by people on Twitter. But yeah, there'll be names we've seen who get tryouts, as we've seen with Cruz, as we've seen with FKA Rain Leverkusen, as we've seen with Nathan Angels, now Tristan Angels. And yeah, some of them will get signed. But the days we had 10 years ago where you had the big tentpole names leaving for pastures new, the safety blankets out there, people have found the spot, the people who are very much happy with what they're doing, but not perhaps stretching their legs and challenging themselves. And it means we're in a position now where, certainly in London, it feels like it's a bit of a shuffled deck of cards. The same kind of names in slightly different positions, in different promotions. I'm tired of it. And I know I'm not the only one. So for the next while, at least, I'll be keeping touch with the current scene, but my next little bit of these, I'll be doing trips back to the past. Hey, I got a lot of feedback on the Will Ospreay Vader mini documentary, if you want to call it that. Thank you for that feedback. It's the kind of thing I've wanted to get my teeth into. And the way British and most European wrestling is these days, that's going to be the path I take for the time being. So thanks for listening to the Euroclutch. I am Ian Hamilton. You can follow me on social media. Just search for Ian Wrestling. You'll find bits going to Voice of Wrestling. There's a bit I did about Uhura after his 16-carat gold win. Probably a few bits to be working on as well. But thanks for listening once again. We'll be back on the Euroclutch, hopefully we're not too distant in the future. And keep it tuned.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network listeners. I am Jeff Hawkins, co-host of Shake Them Ropes, with a very special announcement. If it's been a while or you've never listened to us before, the original gang is back. Myself and Rob McCarron, back talking wrestling. We have no idea where this show's going to go, where we're going to keep any of the old bits or any of the old things in there. It's going to be a process. It's going to be a journey, and we'd like for you to come along with us. Only on Shake Them Ropes on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.